It's good to see each and every one here this morning. I sort of feel like David. I was glad when they said, "Let us go up into the house of the Lord." I can't think of any other place that I would rather be this morning on the Lord's day in the Lord's house with the Lord's people singing praises and honor unto him. And the study of God's word. It's good to be here. You know, in the old book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." That they are anew every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Brothers and sisters and friends, the great God of heaven, when we open our eyes this morning, had already rained down blessings upon us. The Bible says his mercies and his blessings are renewed every morning. So we're here this morning to thank God, give him the glory, to praise his name, because he is worthy of all of our praise, all of our honor, and all of our efforts. God is good, and he's great. This morning I thought I was going to have to call on some of the brethren to preach for me this morning. I've been in the hospital all week long, suffering from chest pains, but God helped me through that situation, through the doctors and the clinicians, so I'm doing fine this morning. Thanks be to God. It's good to be here. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so we see this morning that as we come together, this children of God and visitors that are here, we come to thank God for all of his blessings. And I hope and pray that through the study of this lesson this morning, that God will be glorified from the preaching of the gospel. And each and every one of us will be edified from the preaching of the gospel. My subject this morning is God's simple plan of salvation. And I want to use a couple of passages of scripture for that scripture reading. I want us to look at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, in verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And in the book of Romans, chapter 1, we want to look at verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul teaches us. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to let those two passages of scripture this morning serve as our scripture reading. But before that we go any further into this lesson, we always count it a blessing as well as an opportunity to always to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. And at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. I would like for us to look back on the scripture reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice the Apostle Paul teaches that, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we will find that the Apostle Paul is talking about the message that the gospel tell us about Jesus Christ. You talk to people sometime, you want to try to talk to them about the gospel, I ain't got time. Got to go talk to a man about a dog. I got bigger fish to fry. They just don't have time to listen to God's word. Or they think that is foolishness, the things that we are saying concerning the gospel of Christ. But the Bible says unto us that are saved, we know that it is the power of God. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we look back over those scriptures again. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says that, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He said, "To the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so we see in these passages of Scripture that God's power to save is in the gospel. And every man and woman must come to the gospel in order to be saved. Because this is God's power to save, is in the gospel, that message, the preaching of the gospel. And notice what it says in verse 17. He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And that statement, from faith to faith, means that from the time that we believe in God's word, the faith, we must keep it until the end. Because that's where our reward is in eternal life, is at the end of this life. And so it's from faith to faith we are to keep it. It's not starting and stopping that we are saved, but it's from faith to faith. And the Bible says that, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. And speaking of those that have been justified, those that have been redeemed, that's how we are to live, from faith to faith. And God has a very simple plan of salvation. And this morning, my friends, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask the most important question in life to each and every one of us. And this question depends upon our joy or our sorrow in eternity. And the question is, are you saved? And this question has nothing to do with how good that we are, or whether we are a church member. It's dealing with, when we die, do you believe that you are going to heaven to live with God? The question is, are we saved? And do you believe that when we die, one day we will? Do you believe that you're going to heaven to live with God in eternity? We need to know that for sure, without a doubt. God has given us a plan of salvation, and he tells us that we have to be born again. Say, we must be born again. Now, I want us to look at these passages of scripture here in the book of St. John, chapter 3. I want to start with verse 1. St. John, chapter 3, and verse 1. Concerning the simple plan of God's salvation. God's plan of salvation is very simple. But I want us to look at the book of St. John, chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 1. And notice the dialogue that Jesus had with Nicodemus. The Bible says that there was a man in chapter 3 and verse 1 of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He said the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things or do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And I want to notice the statement that Jesus made. Notice that Jesus did not entertain that statement that Nicodemus made to him about him being a teacher and could do all those miracles. Notice what Jesus told Nicodemus. The Bible says, and Jesus answered in verse 3 and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born again. You know, Nicodemus was troubled by that statement because he thought that Jesus was talking about the physical life. You know, he made that statement, said, how can a man that is grown go back into his mother's womb and be born again? That's what he was thinking. But Jesus was talking about being born from above, that we all have to be born again from above. The Bible teaches us that we cannot come to God by Christian experience. We cannot come to God without God changing us. We can't come by Christian experience. We can't come by the right hand of fellowship. We cannot join the church. The Bible says that we have to be born into it. So we have to be born again. Notice in verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? In verse 5, the Bible says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is God's simple plan of salvation. That we have to be born again, and we have to be born again by water and by Spirit. A very simple plan that we have. The Bible gives us the plan on how to be born again, which means the same thing as being saved. God gives us this plan on how to be saved. And the plan is very simple. Very simple plan. But you know what? People stumble over this simple plan. It's just like Jesus says. Some people say, well, you know, I don't see it that way. When the Bible tells us what to do to be saved, some people just can't see it. But the Bible tells us that this is God's plan, that we be born again by water and by Spirit. You know, if there was a plan for us to climb up a greasy pole backwards, do you know that we couldn't get in here this morning? For people trying to do that, because that is something hard to do. But God gives us this simple plan on how to be saved. And it says by water and by Spirit. That's how we are to be saved. And the Bible tells us that first we all must realize that we are sinners coming to God, and that we all have sinned. I want us to look at a passage of scripture here in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Notice what these passages of scripture teaches. Romans 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before that we came to Christ, we all were sinners. We had to realize that in coming to Christ, that we were in sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, God put some limitations on us. And he told us some things not to do. And we went beyond those limitations. Then he told us some things to do. And we didn't do it. And we came short. The Bible says in either case, we all came short of the glory of God and we sinned. And the Bible tells us that when we sin, we are under the condemnation of death. That's what we are when we sin. I want to look at the book of Romans, chapter 6, and notice what verse 23 teaches. Romans 6 and verse 23, it teaches us, and I want us to pay close attention to this passage of Scripture. And we look at these two masters in the Scripture. It teaches us that he says, for the wages of sin is death. You see, the devil, Satan the devil, will pay us for sinning. And that word wages means salary, a payment. And he will pay us with death. And while we're under death, while we're under sin, we all are condemned to die. That's what Satan will pay us with, is death. He says, for the wages of sin is death. But notice the other master in these passages of Scriptures. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For being faithful, for being obedient, God will give us eternal life to live with him. It's almost like we never die. We just go to sleep. And we're in eternity with God. You see the difference in the two masters? One will pay us with death. The other will pay us with eternal life. You know what? And it's our choice. We have to choose which master that we will serve. Satan or God? That's our choice. But this plan of salvation God has given us is so simple. I want us to look at another passage of Scripture in the book of, I'll just quote it, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible teaches us, says, for almost all things without shedding of blood is no remission. Amongst all things, without the shedding of blood, there is no pardon and there is no forgiveness about the shed blood. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ had to die and shed his blood that we all might live. And I just want us to look at this passage of Scripture here in the book, the old book of Leviticus. We'll take a look at that. Old book of Leviticus, and we look at chapter 17 and verse 11, and notice what Moses has to say about the blood. In the Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, notice what Moses says. He says that, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar, to make all atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so we see that Jesus had to come into this world and shed his blood for us, that we might be saved. And the Bible tells us that our life that we live is the blood that actually keeps us alive. But Jesus tells us his blood is what gave us eternal life in these passages of scriptures. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment comes." So one day that you and I will die, and we all will have to give an account of everything that we have done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We're going to have to give an account. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Romans chapter 5, 8 and 9, it tells us that God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He said, how much more then, being justified through his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath? One day God's wrath is going to come. It's coming. And he tells us the only way that we will escape the wrath of God is to be in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where we are saved, is in Christ. The only way to escape that wrath is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible also tells us that in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 30, it tells us that in time past God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men to repent everywhere. So we can't use the fact that we just don't know. God tells us that every man must repent and be saved. In the book of St. John, we look at St. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Notice what these passages of Scripture teach. St. John chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, "But as many as has received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." The Bible tells us that this is a blessing that has been bestowed upon each and every one of us that believe, is this simple plan of salvation. To everyone that believes. So we must believe the word of God when we hear it. The Bible tells us that the word of God is what saves us. And I want to look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. And look at these passages of Scripture. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, this is where the world stops. And that passage of Scripture right there. They use that passage of Scripture and say, see, you don't have to do anything else. Just call upon the Lord and he'll save you. They stop right there. On whosoever call upon the name of the Lord. The world said that this is the only thing that you have to do. It's just call upon him and he'll save you. They don't read. You see, the false teachers and preachers know that their followers don't read the Bible. And it's a joy to see you come in with this morning with your Bible. That you're looking at your Bible, seeing what's being taught. Because see, the false teachers know that their followers are not going to study the Bible. And they stop right there at that scripture on whosoever call upon the Lord shall be saved. They don't read the rest of the scriptures. I'm just going to read you a few passages, but I'm not going to go all the way for the sake of time. But notice what it says. He said, "How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That's what the Bible says. And it said, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" They don't look at those passages of scriptures. They just look at, call upon the name of the Lord, and you're going to be saved. But we have to look at the rest of the Bible. The Bible teaches us that there's something else that we have to do in order for us to be saved. Now, I want to look at the book of Luke chapter 18. There's a passage of scripture there I would like to look at, 18 and verse 13, and see what the Bible teaches. Luke 18 and verse 13. The Bible gives us an example of one person thinking that he was better than the other one. And we can't come to God like that, thinking that we are better than someone else. We have to humble ourselves and come to God. We can't puff ourselves up. Notice what the Bible teaches. The Bible in verse 13 says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven and to smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But I want us to notice something. The Bible tells us in verse 10, said two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Now this is the way that this person prayed to God, all puffed up, patting himself on the back. He says that, he said, I am not like this tax collector. I'm not greedy. I'm not dishonest like the tax collector. I'm not unfaithful in my marriage. He said, I go without eating 2 times a week, and I give 1/10 of all that I have, thinking that he was better than the tax collector. And the only thing the tax collector says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, the Bible says that tax collector was justified, and he went on his way. You see, we have to humble ourselves when we come to God, not thinking that we are better than someone else. I want us to look at another passage of scripture. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 8. And we'll look at verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Those are what these passages of scripture teach. I want verse 36 instead of verse 31. Verse 36. Notice what the scripture says. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus says, what does it profit a man in gaining the whole world and we lose our soul? What is it that we can buy back if we lose our soul? What is it that we can use to buy back our soul if we lose it? You see, there are some things in this life that we can lose, and it's really not that important to us. There's some things that we can break, and we can repair it. You see, God didn't give us but one soul. And if we lose our soul, that one soul that God has given us, that is a loss that we can never replace. Your soul is the most valuable possession that you have in this life, is your soul. It's more important than your money. It's more important than the opinion of your friends. Your soul is more valuable than this whole world. And if we lose it, it's permanent. We're not going to get another one. God only gave us one soul. And that's why we need to guard, brothers and sisters. And we need to know where that we're going to be when we leave this life. We need to know now. There shouldn't be any doubt in our hearts that when we die, that we won't be with God. We have to make that call and sure. And God tells us what to do. He gives us a plan what to do. And we can't chance that with how we feel. We're not going to feel our way to heaven. You have to know that you are saved. You have to know that God will keep you saved. Notice what the Bible teaches here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want us to look at something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want us to look at verse 13. 10 and verse 13. If you have it, let's read. The Bible says, "There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able." He says that, "But with all the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." That's pretty good, isn't it? Every temptation that we face, that God will make a way for us to escape. That's a pretty good deal there. Well, what about, "Lord, I couldn't help myself. That's why I sin." Notice what he says. "But with every temptation, I will make a way for you to escape." The devil made me do it. "With every temptation, I'll make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it." There's no excuse for sinning when God said that I will make that way for you to escape. You remember the story of Joseph when Pharaoh's captain, Potiphar's wife, tried to seduce him. And she reached for Joseph. And the only thing that she got was Joseph's coat. Because Joseph fled from temptation. And that's what we have to do. See, if we think that we are so strong that we can bear that temptation, the Bible says then, don't fall if we think that we are that strong. Because in the passage before 13, verse 12 says that, "Therefore, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he falls." And so the Bible tells us that, you see, we have to take heed, we have to be watching. And if we think that we can stand a temptation, then don't fall. You know, the thing that the Bible tells us to flee, you know what the world says about flee? That you are a coward. But God said this is the right thing to do. You are strong when you are able to excuse yourself from a situation where you are being tempted. That you walk away from it. In the eyes of God, that's strong. That is not cowardly. That is not weak. He will make a way. Brothers and sisters, God will save us to the utmost. He can do it. And he tells us in these passages of scripture, he'll make that way for us. He tells us to flee. Don't dally with sin. Because if we dally with sin, surely we will lose. You know, I want to give another passage of scripture here. I want to look at the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want us to look at verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. Notice what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. The Apostle Paul was in prison, waiting to die, but his confidence never left him. He said, he knows that God will even be with him in this day. That's the assurance that the Apostle Paul had. And he said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And he was telling Timothy, don't you be ashamed because I am in prison, and don't be ashamed of my suffering for the gospel. And that's the same message to us. Don't be ashamed of the gospel and the things that we have to suffer. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Because this is God's power to say, whatever situation we may face in this life, whatever situation we may be in, God is able to keep us until whatever happens to us. He's able to do it. I want us to notice something here, and I'll close with these passages of Scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 10. And I want to look at verse 32, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So the Bible tells us this morning that if we deny Christ here, he will deny us before the Father, which is in heaven. But if we confess him, he will confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. That's Jesus speaking. You see, this plan of God is so simple. Is that when you hear it, you can be saved today. If you are here this morning and you're not a member of the church that Christ built, you can be saved today. Right today, you can be saved. This God plan, you hear his word. And we all heard it this morning. The Bible tells us that Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing God's word, we ought to believe it. The Bible tells us that in the book of St. John, chapter 20, and verse 29 and 30, said, truly, did many signs before his disciples. He said, that are not mentioned in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. And so don't let anyone tell you that the name is not important, because God made it important. He said, we have to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ, who he sent here. And you see that passage of Scripture in the book of St. John, chapter 3 and verse 16. We see it on the billboards as we travel. We see it in football games, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then the world has this sign up all over as we go and travel. I wonder sometimes, do they really know that is one of the sweetest verses in the Bible? It explained to us that God is love. It explained to us that God didn't hate the world. He loved the world. It explained to us that he sent his Son so we wouldn't perish. That's what those scriptures teaches. And I know the world really don't understand those passages of scriptures. But that's one of the sweetest verses that we will find in the Bible. That God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. After this, we must repent. After hearing and believing God's word. Luke 13:3 says, I'll tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke tells us that when we hear the gospel and when we believe it, then we have to turn from all the things that we believe that we can't find in the Bible. We have to make that change. Then after that, we must make the good confession. And the good confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the good confession. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Romans chapter 10:9-10. So, well, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. It tells us with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we must make that confession. After that, we must be buried into the watery grave of baptism. I'll tell you something this morning. They fooled me once in the congregation that I was in. And we heard the story about fool me once. Well, I won't go through that whole scenario, though. I don't want to mess it up. But the Bible tells us that we're not saved until we are baptized. And I was fooled that I was saved before I was baptized. They fooled me. They told me the only thing you have to do is call upon Jesus and you're saved. And the Bible tells us that this is the step right here to save us. You see, now, the Bible tells us that when we do what God say do, then there's blood in that water to wash away our sins. Someone said, well, I don't see the blood. God didn't say see it. He said do it. And the blood in that water will wash away our sin. We may not understand all that whole process in being born again. But we have to do what God says to do. It's just like the natural birth. We don't understand that whole process of the natural birth. But we know what we have to do. And the Bible tells us that we may not understand, but we just have to have faith in God. We'll go to the airport and we get on an airplane, and sometimes we get on an airplane, we never see the pilot. We don't know who's up there in that cockpit. It could be Donald Duck up there. But we got faith that whoever's up there can take that plane off the ground and can land it safely, although we never see that person. We have faith in that. We go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed medication for us. We go to the pharmacist, and they back there mixing stuff up for us to take one, two, three times a day. And we don't know what's in that medication. But we have faith that that pharmacist in that place, that pharmacist know what he's doing or she's doing that we're taking. We have faith in that. Why not have faith in God? A God that cannot lie. A God that does not change. Have faith in God when he gives us his word, that this is how you're saved. And we do that and we have the assurance of that. And the Bible tells us in that step right there, Galatians 3:27, for as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it also tells us that once you become a Christian, that your sin, you're to repent of that sin, and we sin the sin that has caused shame to the body of Christ. See it. And ask for the prayers of the righteous that we might be reinstated to the fellowship of our brother and sister once again. And the Bible teaches us in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. John says, my little children, and this is what he calls us, his little children. He said, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. In other words, John said, don't practice sin. But if we sin, he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's the one that goes to God for us when we ask for forgiveness. He said, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, which is a propitiation for our sins. And he said, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. So as a Christian, when we stumble and we fall, we ask for forgiveness. The blood of Christ acts just like laundry detergent when we stain our clothes. We ask God to forgive us. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away that sin. That's the beauty that we have by being a Christian, that we can ask God to forgive us, and he's just to forgive us. So this morning, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I would to God that you would come forth and make that good confession while we sing the chosen selection.